There is no cause for alarm.
All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 488 for Thursday, July the 21st, 2021, or 2011. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and remember, the more sunglasses you're wearing, the cooler you are. So, you know, you get some on your own, you know, in the traditional glasses position on your face, then one up on the forehead, maybe one backwards. You can get one on each arm. It really ups the cool factor.
You're taking fashion advice from the internet again, I see.
Yes. I'm trying to figure out what to do because of how fucking hot it's been. Anyways, yep, so tonight we have a madman. What's up, madman? Madman?
Oh. Hola. I just picked up my headset. I take it we're starting.
Say we've started.
All right, we have a madman. We also have an Are You.
Hello.
So, and TeamSpeak's taking a shit again, so audio quality is going to be real bag of fun tonight. Been fighting with this all night, thought I had it straightened out. Apparently not. Great. It shouldn't be anything sucking hard on the bandwidth, so I don't know why it's doing that, but maybe something the ISP is doing, or some upstream thing, or solar flare, or God knows what.
Well, the good news is I got my new mic cord, so it should cancel out the line noises. I can see it at the moment, it's just sitting on the floor, unpacked.
I have it, there. Why don't things sound better?
I just haven't put it in yet, but...
It's like, what have you done? Hopefully. The entire microphone is covered in ferrite beads.
I should have all the audio gear tomorrow.
Yeah.
I found where the store moved to.
Oh, good.
And go buy my $14 Logitech headset. It'll last another 15 years.
If you're getting that kind of time out of it, man, that's awesome.
Well, this one is going on 16, 17 years. Two trips overseas and back. But yeah, it's done the miles, man.
Yeah, I got a good 12 years out of my last headset before I finally had to replace it. But I had replaced most of the parts of that thing at least once by that point.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same model headset. Hopefully, you know, it's still good quality. If it is, I'll go buy two.
I would have gone with the same model as the previous one, but they don't make it anymore. And I mean, I could have gotten one, you know, I could have gotten an old stock one, but it's like, you know, I mean, so I went with the new model and then didn't like how it fit. So I took the ear pads from the old one and 3D printed some adapters, made my old headset, the ear cups work on the new one. So it's comfortable.
So yeah. I'm a big fan of you. If you find something you like, make sure you buy another two.
Put them in the freezer so they, you know, don't degrade.
Oh, I stick them in the cupboard.
Well,
out of the sun, yeah.
It's a joke.
No, I get the joke, dude. I'm just saying.
You know what I miss that I can't find anywhere anymore?
Cherry Jones soda.
Actually, there's a limited run of those, and I've been stocking up.
Common sense governance?
I don't know if that ever truly existed, but if it did, I do miss it.
The original NES.
I've been playing emulators, but yes, I also miss that. There's many things that I miss, but what I was going to be referring to was single blade razors that you could just, you know, take the blade out and clean.
Do they make them anymore?
Good luck finding
them. Don't get me wrong, I haven't shaved with a razor in 20-odd years, but...
Razors? Rats asks, how do you feel about shortwave radio coming back? Oh, no. Don't push our use buttons.
Fuck off, Rats.
So, especially BBC.
I told you everybody's doing it, man.
News on shortwave again so they can get into Ukraine, Russia. You know, I don't. Genuine ass. So I'm teasing, are you? Because he was complaining about it the other day that almost every one of his alternative news sources, somebody's going on about getting their ham license. And then I said to him, yeah, I got my tech in general a couple of months ago. And he's like, damn it.
So, it's the scourge of 3D printing all over again.
But one day the internet will be. Don't worry, they can't transmit illegal guns yet.
One day the internet will find a hobby I'm interested in.
Packet radio over HF to move the 3D printing gun files from Are We Cool Yet? Madman, I need you to get your general license so that we can transmit the STL over shortwave just so we can say we've transmitted a gun over a radio.
Wow. That's actually a good reason.
Oh.
Then I may actually print it and use it.
It'd be a fun hobby to get into doing the 3D printed gun thing if you're doing the one with, you know, actual gun parts for the ballistics. The all-plastic 3D printing gun's a very bad idea. Rat says he's been eyeing amateur radio. It is expensive to get into. So if you don't have a line on some good second-hand equipment or somebody who's wanting to help you get into it, I would be careful about that. Not that you can't get into it on the cheap, it's just, well, it's like anything, right? You know, if you buy the $200 Chinese radio, it's a $200 Chinese radio versus, you know, most of your entry-level rigs are, you know, $600-$700, and a good contest station is more than $1,000. So, be aware. And that hobby gets crazy deep because there's all kinds of different ways to go. I actually just set up a little access. I'm going to stop because Aryu's head's going to explode.
Oh, man, go for it.
I set up a Wires X access point at home, just playing around with the radio. And so it's linking up, hooking up to repeaters over the internet from a handheld, which is fun, but... you know, kind of pointless for ham because it depends on the internet, right? It's like you're kind of missing the point at that. It's like, well, you know, you've got two radios and a computer involved. Why don't you just, you know, Discord or TeamSpeak or Skype? Anyways, no, if you do want to get your ham radio license, do the hamstudy.org. It does all the practice test questions. That's what I did. It makes it super easy to at least get ready for the test. But moving on. First story I have for tonight is from the BBC. Oh, ham what dot? Hang on, let me get you the link. Oop. Clicking random shit. Yep. This guy. Yep. So let's see. Did I throw the first one out? I did. Okay. Copy that in back into TeamSpeak. There we go. First article from tonight is from the BBC. Heatwave forces Google and Oracle to shut down computers.
Nothing of value was lost.
It is in the UK. As record temperatures hit much of the UK on Tuesday, tech giants Google and Oracle suffered outages as cooling systems failed at London data centers. Now, what this story really is literally it's hot outside and AC broke down. And they're spinning it into a news story for reasons. We're going to keep going here. So,
Let me guess, climate change.
Data centers are large, highly secure buildings that hold banks of computers that are powerhouses by many online services. But the concentrated computing power generates heat so powerful that cooling is essential. Both companies say the problems have now been resolved. Oracle, a large American database software and technology business, reported overheating problems just before 1600 BST. Quote, following unseasonably high temperatures in the UK's South London region, two cooler units in the data center experienced a failure when they were required to operate above their design limits, unquote. The company wrote on a status page first spotted by the Register. Quote, as a result, temperatures in the data center began to climb, which caused some systems to shut down as a protective measure. The company said the issue was resolved and an update posted shortly after 10 BST on Wednesday. So, yeah, they almost lost 24 hours worth of time due to an AC failure, which, I mean, is actually surprising that they would have it go out for that long. As Britain baked, overheating also hit a Google Cloud data center location in London. Google Cloud lets other businesses do work on the company's computers. Just after 1800 BST, the company reported that there has been a cooling-related failure in one of our buildings, unquote. In order to prevent damage to the machines and an extended outage, the firm said it powered down some of them. The problem was fixed by 0700 BST on Wednesday, and the company said that, quote, only a small set of our customers, unquote, were affected. So, again, pretty good amount of downtime, really, for a data center. Most of them have backup AC units, so I'm kind of surprised about that. Let's see.
I'm kind of surprised that they don't have AC capable of coping with their temperatures.
They do. It's just that it failed. Rats asked, do you think ARM server industry will push them as lower power and easier to cool off? No, not so much that they're easier to cool. They are lower power, but the big push from ARM is going to be higher density, getting more servers into the physical space because they do use lower power. So instead of one server taking up that rack, it'll be a Blade server with, like, five in it. So. Because the data processed can be highly valuable to their customers, data centers are built with many backups, including plenty of cooling capacity. Experts the BBC spoke to on Monday doubted that the modern data centers would experience difficulties, so the failures at big, well-resourced companies like Google will have come as a surprise, but operators were wary of unprecedented temperatures. Paul Hone of Runcentric, which operates data centers in Harrogate, London, Reading, and Cambridge, told the BBC that the firm had put its disaster recovery plan into action on Monday. Mr. Hone added that while data centers are designed to withstand hot weather, the heat wave's temperatures would be, quote, at the upper end of designed expectations for a lot of data center operations, unquote. In the end, for Mr. Hone, Tuesday passed without incident, but additional cooling means additional electricity consumption, which in turn can mean increased carbon emissions. When climate scientists warning that hot days will be more frequent, tech firms, there it is.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and they mentioned Microsoft's underwater data center.
Strikes again.
So.
Is there anything not climate related anymore?
I don't know. But I just find that one amusing that... So, what the story is that both Google and Oracle happened to have a couple of AC failures at data centers on a hot day. That's actually not that surprising. Do you know how many data centers Oracle and Google have?
I bet they're located in areas a little bit more warmer in temperature, too.
Yeah, but they're designed for areas that are routinely warmer. It is unseasonably hot across a lot of Europe right now. So, I mean, I get that they're getting close to the edge of what they're specced for. So, go ahead, Mehmet.
Oh, I was just looking up the average temperature for London over the last... 10 years, and this year might be a little warmer, but it's not 10 degrees warmer. It's like a few average.
They hit 38 last year as well. I remember them complaining of shit about it.
I'm just thinking, air conditioning units eventually go out. When was the last time that unit was replaced?
Yeah, good point.
When you set up a data center, I don't think you put in new AC units. I think they go in and check out a building and be like, okay, there aren't any windows we could throw a brick through. Let's rent this one.
Madman, I don't know that that's true. A lot of data centers are purpose built because it's not just the cooling, it's also the power requirements, it's also physical space requirements. You have to plan how server racks are going to be deployed, how the airflow inside those racks is going to deploy, because usually there's alternating hot cool aisles. So there's a lot of planning that has to go in these. So even if they are getting an existing building, they'll probably have to gut it to build a data center in there.
Well, then if they're throwing a new AC unit, then yeah, I'd be kind of surprised because those have lifespans of 50 years. And I don't think they have a data center that.
Could be maintenance as well, man. When was the last time they were maintained? When was the last time the vents were cleaned?
Oh, yeah, that's just shoddy planning if they're not maintaining their equipment. I'm hoping Google isn't, or I'm hoping Oracle and anything mainstream isn't that. I can't say that stupid because I work for a major company and all major companies are retarded.
Cycross has a good point here. Wonder how clean the power coming into the AC has been lately with all the difference of methods of generation and high load on the grid and with Russia, strategic incursions, could make it easier. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you got the ACs running at full tilt, right? And of course, everybody's AC is running at full tilt because it's hot. And most data centers, though, they have very large UPSs, backup units. Usually it's all going through battery back. So I don't know if that, of course, in that there's different kinds of that, so there's not always going to be power conditioned, and they may not be power conditioning the AC. So do you think there might be stretching part shortages, might be stretching maintenance schedules? Oh, I don't know.
A lot of things, man.
I mean, most data centers don't. They're the philosophy they use on large cluster computing like that. They usually don't bother doing individual maintenance on servers. They just replace them when they break. Oh, that whole server's out. Okay, fine. Just leave it dead in the rack till that half enough of the rack is dead to just replace the whole thing in one go. Now servicing the ACs, part shortages could definitely be impacting that. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But continuing along that game, not quite at the same level as data centers going down, but it could be equally devastating depending. It's from Ars Technica. It's getting too hot to play the Steam Deck or the Switch outside, makers warn. I mean,
Right.
again, it's stories of people saying it's hot. It's
Oh
like, yep, that
no.
happens in summer, but
Yeah, it's called summer.
and it is a hotter summer than we've had in a while. I don't know when the last time we had a summer this hot was. It could be a record, but it has been hot, so. Leaving the politics out of it, yeah, it's hot. And this is just yet another, oh God, it's hot complaining story, but it's funny. Let's see.
I don't play video games outside. I go into the big blue room to, I don't know, go swimming,
Yeah.
check out an amusement park, possibly go to a whiskey museum. You
Anything
know,
but gaming, eh?
not playing a video game.
Maybe reading a book.
I mean, yeah, usually if you want to play video games, you especially if it's a portable, so there's no real limit on where you use it, you go where the air conditioning is.
Yeah. I mean, is it too hot outside or is the Steam Deck a failure with its exhaust vents?
The Steam Deck does blow a lot of heat out the top. Psychro says he plays video games outside. He just hit level 10 for the second time in Ingress today.
All right. Well,
well played, sir.
One.
Well played.
Yeah, well played. I have played Ingress. You've got me there.
Yeah, you got me too.
Okay, one of the main perks of portable consoles is the ability to play them outside the house, a use we've seen emphasized in multiple marketing campaigns over the years. But as countries around the world have suffered through record-breaking heat waves in recent weeks, two major portable console makers are warning players that their products don't function well in ambient temperatures in the excess of 35 degrees C or 95 degrees Fahrenheit. Nintendo of Japan led the warnings last week, tweeting that if you use the Nintendo Switch in a hot place, the temperature of the main unit may become high. According to a machine translation, if the temperature of the main unit becomes too high, it may sleep automatically to protect the main unit. The company also urged players to make sure the vents of the console and the docking unit are not blocked by dust or debris, and to install the dock in a location that does not retain heat. Valve joined in a public heat warning yesterday, tweeting a reminder that the Steam Deck, quote, may start to throttle performance to protect itself, unquote, in high ambient temperatures. Steam Deck's internal APU starts scaling back performance when the chip itself reaches a temperature of 100 degrees Celsius and will shut down if it tops 105, Valve said. After that, the system can limit battery charging rates, download speeds, and even SSD speeds to keep the GPU running as steadily as possible. These heat warnings aren't completely new for either company. Nintendo and Valve have long published support documentation citing 35 degrees C as an upper limit of the safe operational range of their consoles. Fun fact, Valve also doesn't recommend that you use the Steam Deck at altitudes more than 3,500 meters above sea level. I guess the air gets too thin?
Possibly. I could see that as a cooling issue. Also wondering if it would affect the liquid crystal displays at all.
Well, I don't know. That video we watched yesterday of the guy, you know, testing a Steam Deck, he took a lighter to the screen and it recovered.
Well prepared. Yeah. That was, yeah, I got to tip my hat to that one with the Steam Deck. That was pretty awesome.
So, these heat warnings aren't completely... Okay, I already read that. Still, it's notable that both companies felt the need to publicly reinforce the recommendations now as temperatures exceed 40 degrees C in the UK for the first time, and heat-driven wildfires force evacuations across France, Spain, and Portugal. For the Switch, they noted in the early coverage of the initial review that the tablet can get noticeably warm during extended play sessions on high-end games. That said, most Switch games are designed with a consistent hardware profile in mind, meaning they shouldn't overtax the processor under normal thermal conditions. The Steam Deck, on the other hand, thermal performance can depend heavily on how far the specific graphics and performance settings for a particular game push the processor. While Valve includes a built-in frame rate limiter to reduce overall power draw and processor heat, playing with the system settings and or game settings can help reduce the power draw in extreme conditions. And apparently hackers are already working with liquid cooling solutions for the Steam Deck. So, you know, if climate change wins, they've got a solution for that. Yeah, I don't know, Psychros. I'm not sure who's climbing the side of a mountain, getting to the top and saying, "Ha, time for some Tetris."
Oh, does it count airplanes? Because those cabins are pressurized.
That's why those cabins are pressurized.
Well, I am not climbing Mount Kilimanjaro if I cannot play my Steam Deck at the top.
But the real question is, what game are you playing on the Steam Deck?
Does Ninja Turtles run okay?
Mountain Climber, duh. I'm loading up an emulator and I'm playing Mountain Climber at the top of Kilimanjaro.
Actually, the Ninja Turtles beat 'em up runs fantastic on the Steam Deck. I've played that several times on there.
That's good.
Cyberpunk with RTX on. RTX on a Steam Deck. Sure, buddy. Let me know how that works for you.
Battery life in 3, 2, 1, gone.
So, it's like, what happened? You just see somebody sitting there with the cartoon blast face in their hands and just, you know, it's like, what happened? Well, I turned RTX on the Steam Deck and it exploded. This next one up is kind of sad. Nova Launcher has been acquired by analytics company Branch. So for anybody who's... well, the article explains it. Nova Launcher is easily among the best Android launchers for power users and personalization enthusiasts alike. The app's developers recently pulled the wraps off of Nova Launcher 8.0 beta with its redesigned settings menu and Material U dynamic theming. But now we're asking new questions about the project's future, and as we get word that Nova Launcher and its associated app, Sesame Universal Search, have been acquired by Branch, a mobile links and analytics company. Nova Launcher creator Kevin Berry explains that Branch has purchased the two apps and hired a team consisting as him, Nova Launcher community manager Cliff Wade, and the Sesame Search developers. Since you've almost certainly not familiar with Branch, the new parent company's primary business is to give an app's devs a platform to manage and analyze deep links into the creations. Its tech has been integrated in over 100,000 apps since 2014. Oh, Psychro says a comment on the last story. Mount Fuji is 3,777 meters tall, and apparently it's not so much the mountain climb as a very long walk because there's a line of people. So he said there he's sure there's Japanese folks playing video games while waiting to get to the summit. I mean, I guess if you're on Everest and there's a line for the peak.
But so long as that line... I'll play video games... below the termination point. But above that, I'm going to be too antsy to play a video game.
He said there's snack bars on Fuji. Yeah, probably. Yeah, since apps since 2014, those apps from companies like Adobe, BuzzFeed, and Yelp. Barry likens Branch needing Nova Launcher to Google needing its Pixel devices, but reassures users that the original team remains in complete control steering development efforts for Nova Launcher and Sesame Search. The team promises that Nova won't devolve into a run-of-the-mill Android launcher with its subscription-style paywalls, intrusive tracking, and ads. The monetization model also won't be changed significantly, and Nova Launcher Prime will still be a one-time purchase to unlock all the advanced features. Moreover, most of the new Branch-enabled features would be opt-in and completely optional. Seems like you just said the same thing twice.
Yeah.
Longtime users may understandably feel concerned that Branch could farm data off Nova's users, thanks to the level of access and system privileges the app gets. The announcement attempts to allay those fears and concerns voiced on Reddit while identifying Branch's interest in using Nova to provide, quote, research, development, expertise, and feedback, unquote. That's vague. Barry is clear you'll still be able to opt out of contributing to statistics. Okay. I'm going to stop reading this. There's three paragraphs left. Nova Launcher, I mean, I've got a copy of Nova Launcher. I used it on several of my Android phones, and I paid for Nova Launcher Prime because compared to a stock Android launcher back in the day, it was way better. Now, that said, my last couple of Android phones, I didn't use it. I just used either the stock Android launcher or the Samsung UI for a while. Because the Samsung UI got less obnoxious and stock Android got acceptable. So it wasn't quite as a necessity as it used to be. But back in the day, everybody had Nova Launcher. And I'm sure you used to have a lot of people who used it out of habit. And I'm almost positive what Branch is buying is not that they want to get into selling Android apps. They're buying a user base. All this stuff they're saying that is going to not change, it probably isn't going to change right now. Probably isn't going to change for another year. But I bet if you were to follow back up on this in a couple of years, all of the original developers will be gone. Maybe this main guy, he might still be around. But I'm almost positive that, because you see it all the time. You know, they do the buyout and nothing changes initially. But a year in, you've lost some of your developers because they didn't want to put up with a corporate environment. So they start bringing in new developers, but it's a corporate environment. I mean, this is what you saw with Blizzard, for God's sakes, after Activision bought them. You know, yeah, sure, they were great on, you know, they were fine for a couple of years under Activision. And then it slowly started to change. And, you know, now it's to the point where you get Diablo Immortal, which is basically a whale farming app, just like however many other mobile games out there.
Well, Blizzard for me seemed like a company that genuinely wanted to play, make video games and good games. And they did. They hit jackpot with World of Warcraft.
Well, you know, absolutely.
The money started flowing. And that's when it started getting more corporatized. And now look at it. It can't put out a game to save its life.
Well, they got bought by Activision. So they got, you know, they got brought into that corporate structure and more integrated into it. And then eventually it's just another brand name that Activision owns. Sure, I'm sure they have a Blizzard division within the company, and maybe it's even still in a separate building and a separate part of the company. But, after long enough, it's just a part of that company. It's not the separate one anymore.
Yeah.
And so I imagine a couple of years from now, all the opt-outs are going to be gone. And Nova Launcher is just going to be, you know, sucking up telemetry left, right, and center.
And I think it'll start sucking up a lot of it. Because if you notice, it's opt-out, not opt-in.
That's true.
You're going to log in, and how many people are going to go in and change their settings to opt-out? I'm pretty sure there's going to be an update making everyone opt in until they go in and click the opt-out option.
Psychro says, don't worry, soon enough Microsoft will gobble up Activision. You know, as amusing as that idea is, Microsoft, as much as the Linux community likes to hate on them and as much as everybody hates, you know, how buggy Windows can be, from what I understand, their corporate culture actually isn't that bad. You don't need a Facebook account for... Yeah, I saw that. I saw that about the Quest needing a Meta VR account. But, from what I've heard, a lot of their corporate culture is actually not bad at all. In the early days when they had Bill Gates and Ballmer in there, apparently it could be high stress because they were always pushing to, you know, get the next product out the door. But it wasn't, like, abusive or anything. I mean, I guess it could be a little bit. You know, like Steve Jobs at the early days of Apple. Apparently, that was a nightmare. But,
Brookfield sex maniac.
Yeah.
Wozniak doesn't get the credit he deserves.
No, that's why he left that company in the 80s. Well, he didn't leave. He's still technically on the payroll, but he hasn't done anything for them in years.
He actually invented the PC. He needs more credit. Jobs was just a salesman.
Linux got worse to the likes of Potter. Yeah. I don't know. Pottering, I mean, it's really obnoxious in the beginning when everyone kind of embraced his stuff out the door. That was what always bothered me about Systemd and Pulse Audio, was that it was embraced early without the technology being proven. Now, they eventually got them both in pretty decent shape, but Microsoft actually just hired Pottering. I don't know if you all saw that. But Anyways, finishing out the article here. Presently, Nova is reliant on media coverage about stable and well-implemented feature improvements to lure new users in who could purchase Prime. Branch's involvement could lead to steadier cash flow, which fuels development effort, ultimately giving us more frequent releases featuring smaller changes instead of piling them all into bigger releases with high-profile announcements. Additionally, Barry says Nova may finally engage in A-B testing for feature and design changes, a practice that he has avoided until now. Hinting at a post-acquisition features making their way to Nova, he laments that indie developers like himself cannot forge relationships with big tech firms and other apps to enhance micro results in Nova Search and Sesame Search beyond a threshold. Since such relationships are right up Branch's alley, we believe it means Sesame and Nova's search features could deliver better granular search results through the app integrations in due course. Longtime Nova user, the author remains cautiously optimistic about the Branch deal. So, again, Branch's big thing is analytics and data. They're not going to give up that data source. they might have an opt out, but it's, I mean, it's going to be like the Windows, you know, when you set up a new Windows computer and you have to uncheck every box, and after you uncheck it, that box gives you a warning that your dog is going to die and, you know, the sky is going to fall because you won't let Microsoft have data, free data from you.
Don't worry, they're going to drown your goldfish.
Yeah, my dad's been setting up a new computer. Oh my God. What's this? What's that? Why does it want to charge me for Office 365? Yeah, I mean, just oh my God. I don't know if anybody's set up a new off-the-shelf Windows computer lately. Pain in the ass. And it's yeah. Doesn't need to be. It's just Microsoft's jamming all this shit in, trying to get extra cash flow, I guess.
That's one thing I do like about the Steam Deck. If it's popular enough, the next time I build a computer, all the games I play will probably be running on Linux.
Yeah, and you actually have an... I mean, I don't think Valve has officially released SteamOS yet, but you don't actually need Valve to do that. You could install Ubuntu or Red Hat or any Linux you really want and set up Proton in Steam. Let's see. Psychro says he uses Pulse Audio to handle multiple sound cards. It's messy, but it does serve a purpose. His work is just awful at following the Unix philosophy of doing one thing, doing it one. Yeah. Yeah, he likes his monoliths. I mean, Pulse Audio eventually got decent. I mean, it was a right pain in the ass back in the day when they first, you know, forced it on you. Although it used to be a lot easier just to uninstall it and go back to ALSA. I'm just disappointed they didn't all embrace Jack. I don't know if anybody else ever played with Jack Audio on Linux. That is a very powerful audio system. Worked quite well. That would have been the one in my mind to develop on, not a new one. And now I think there's a new replacement for Pulse Audio on the horizon, although I haven't been following it too closely. Next article is from The Hill. Jack seems good. So, Psychros, the big thing I always liked with Jack is it did this virtual wires in the background. So you could pump everything, any app that supported it would show up in the Jack patch panel, and you could wire apps in, you know, different applications into each other. So one of the things I liked doing with it was back in the day with Second Life was it was a way of recording. It was a way of, yeah, like I wanted to record audio out of Second Life and have it capture both my microphone and the game audio and the text chat in there. And Jack was a way to do that. Unfortunately, the machine I was trying to run it on wasn't super stable and didn't really have the horsepower for what I was doing with it. But it worked. Windows, this was not easy without an analog split. Yeah, no, you'd still need something in the way to split it out into multiple sound cards. Probably the easiest way to do that would have been to go into the microphone. No, wait. I was going to say virtual do listen to this cable. Device, but that doesn't... Yeah, virtual audio cable is how you'd have to do it.
Yep.
Virtual audio cable and, like, voice pain meter potato.
Pain in the ass.
Don't get me wrong, VoiceMeter is a great piece of software on Windows, but I use a physical mixer because I got tired of fighting with all the Windows sound options. And just I have a lot of USB sound cards and a physical mixer, and that's how I do this setup. That's how I do the show. That's how I do the soundboard. You did have to use VoiceMeter, yeah. So let's this article is from The Hill. Or you sent it to me. Putting a price on privacy, putting an end to police data searches. So, yeah, let me make sure I'm marking the notes. Thanks. Are you okay? You can't put a price on our Constitution, but police these days can circumvent it as long as they're willing to pay. This is the absurd logic law enforcement agencies employ with data broker purchases, in which officers buy your cell phone location data from firms that offer it up to the highest bidder without any court oversight. we know that these data purchases have impacted tens of millions, but we actually have no way to know just whose data they've purchased. And it's not just the police. Agencies ranging from the U.S. military to the Internal Revenue Service have done the exact same thing. If officers want to take your computer and phone, they need a warrant. But if they pay a data broker for private and sensitive data, that's fair game, at least for now. A new bill, the Fourth Amendment is Not for Sale Act, they must have marketing companies that come up with these names, recently introduced Sen. Ron Wyden's, introduced by Senator Ron Wyden, a broad bipartisan act set of co-sponsors could put an end to the practice. Under the bill, police would be barred from buying data they aren't otherwise entitled to access. The bill could finally put a stop to the... bill could finally put a stop to the practice that is putting Americans at risk and making data brokers rich. If you, as most people do, walk around with a smartphone, you're most likely generating a trail of digital breadcrumbs in the form of geolocation data. For many apps, geolocation data is critical for function. Think of navigating Google Maps or calling a Lyft ride. But many others, it is merely a matter of mining data and selling it to information brokers. This information can reveal sensitive movements, activities, and interactions. If mapped out in a pattern, it opens a window to the most intimate details of your life. Go ahead, Matt Ben.
I don't know if it's the view of the bill or just what you've read so far, but they're not attacking the problem. They're going after one of the symptoms of the problem, which is cops can buy your data. The problem isn't that cops can buy your data. The problem is you don't own your data.
Yeah, the problem is your data is for sale.
So it's not that a data broker can sell my shit. It's that the data broker has my shit and didn't pay me for it.
Yeah.
I should own my data. You don't get to sell my data to anyone. I get to sell it if I want to. And if I sell it to you, then you do whatever the fuck you want with it because you bought it. But if I'm not selling it, then it should not be for sale.
What I'm wanting to know is, how are you going to enforce this? Police are barred from buying data they aren't otherwise entitled to access. Define what they're entitled to access. They can just say, well, that's in plain view. It's on a server.
If it's legally for sale, cops are legally able to buy it.
You see what I mean? See this as... I don't think it's enforceable. I mean, okay, maybe it's enforceable. How many cops are just going to... how many of them are going to buy it offline, after hours, and do motivated investigations based on what they found with the data so that when they don't have to present it in court that they got, because the only time that'll come up is if they're trying to charge somebody and they're like, and we got this data from from Facebook.
The actual term is parallel investigation that exists right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
We've had issues with, some branches of our foreign intelligence possibly leaking things to the cops. And then the cops are like, oh, well, we will look at this and not say why we looked at it, because everyone has a reason for a cop to follow them eventually.
Rats, I'm pretty sure that's called the Five Eyes program. And it's exactly the same reasoning. If they're doing shit like that, this is not going to be enforceable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm thinking if you want to solve the problem... you actually denote ownership of data now. You say individuals own their data, problem solved.
Yeah, every app that's free will come up. Can we collect your data? When you say no, those apps will say, oh, we can't run if you don't let us collect your data. Are you sure? I'm sure you can't collect my data. You must uninstall this
and
app.
And delete.
Yeah. And I would rather that. I would rather people know what the fuck they're doing. Now,
but
you're going
to
have a lot of people who
consent to
will
give
click.
Something away, fine.
And they will.
Something away.
And they will. But you at least have the option. You at least have the choice. And that's what bothers me. Is that
that
most
way
people
those
are,
who are literate can opt out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now, I know what the thing's doing. And I have a hard time going through and turning all of it off. I don't know about you guys.
I mean, apart from your employment data, I do not know how you guys walk around with those things. But...
if you knew how much I loathed Microsoft Teams. I mean, that's mostly what it does. I downgraded when I last changed phones. I went from a big smartphone that had a lot of extra stuff on it to a basic iPhone because I wasn't doing anything on it that warranted the big screen and all the extra features. I don't use it hardly anymore. Work, text messages, phone calls, and FaceTime. That's it. And if it weren't for FaceTime, I would have gotten a smaller Android phone.
I am so glad I recognized them for what they were before I started carrying one.
I mean,
forget it now. People feel naked without them.
I mean, I tell you,
that's terrifying.
I tell you though, playing with the ham radio stuff and the little handheld walkie-talkies, it's basically the same radio as what's in a cell phone, except they can talk to each other without the fucking tower.
Yeah. And they're not collecting your data location.
Well, most of them don't have enough horsepower to do that. My good handheld, my Yaesu, does collect your data location, and it's a feature because you can turn on and off whether you want it to broadcast it, which if you're going to go hiking in the woods is probably a good thing.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing.
But... anyways. Because of this, the Supreme Court ruled in 2018 that the government needs a warrant before it can obtain cell phone location records, but a serious loophole of the rule has emerged, which is being exploited. Last year, U.S. Special Operations Command sparked internal outrage when it was revealed that they had purchased geolocation data from Muslim prayer time and dating apps used around the world, including by large numbers of U.S. citizens. The most popular of these apps, Muslim Pro, was used by more than 98 million users on its own. Okay, I'm going to stop here for a moment. I don't know if the people who wrote Muslim Pro were practitioners of the religion, but kudos to them for seeing a market and exploiting it.
Please tell me it has a little ding every time you need to wash your feet.
I bet it plays the call of the prayer over your speaker.
Probably does.
And like I said, you know, whether you agree with all the politics and all that other stuff, kudos on that guys, on those guys for seeing a market. Because I'll bet whoever wrote that made tons of money. However, geolocation isn't just used for military operations, but rather to track crimes as mundane as tax evasion. The FBI, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and Immigration and Customs Enforcement all use this tactic as well. Okay, if you are a fugitive or an illegal immigrant, why on God's earth would you be walking around with a cell phone?
Oh, please. That's when you should have a cell phone.
Yeah, law enforcement agencies engaged in this practice are abusing a loophole to dodge a Supreme Court warrants rule. If the police wanted to search somebody's apartment, they couldn't skip getting a warrant by handing the landlord a wad of cash and asking for the keys. But that's essentially what the government currently does with data brokers, using your tax dollars as a shortcut for access to the exact set of private information law requires a warrant to seize. Unfortunately, a dangerous trend has developed in how law enforcement exploits the fast spread of technology to override the slow pace of court rulings and proceedings. When the Supreme Court ruled in 2012, after 6 years of litigation, that police couldn't track suspects by attaching GPS devices to cars without warrants, good God, that took 6 years? That seems like an easy one.
To get to the Supreme Court, I can see that.
Well, okay.
Because you got each lower court ruling, and the Supreme Court can immediately claim jurisdiction, but it rarely does. Because it's the court of last resort. If you lose there, there's no appeal.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to attach shit to your car and track you. That seems like a very easy one to require a warrant on. It's like, that's kind of the point of the warrant, you know, that we're legally invading your rights. You know, we are infringing upon your rights because we suspect you of having committed a crime. You know, the warrant is the court documenting why they did it. Without that, I mean... people aren't educated in why the system works the way it does anymore, are they?
No, they're not. And the
it's
issue
not a
with
magic
this
piece
is
of paper. It's documentation so they can prove why they violated your rights.
it's still an argument over who owns the data they're getting. Like their example of the landlord, we've already decided if I signed a lease, it's not the landlord's property technically. I owe him money for the use of it, but it's mine until the lease is up or until I violate the lease.
Well, it's contractually yours for however long the lease is, yeah.
So with this, we just need to finally come out and say individuals' data belong to the individual.
Yeah, so now the government has moved on to the new system of buying location records from data brokers. We cannot afford to endlessly play whack-a-mole while individual rights are infringed upon and private activities and associations are stockpiled by the government. Congress needs to step in and establish strong safeguards. Luckily, it's a straightforward bill to write rather than come up with a new review process or complex standard. Wyden's bill simply holds the law enforcement to the same standard when getting information from data brokers as when police compel us to hand it over directly. Also, the bill bans police from buying data that companies got through deception or malicious hacking, ending the loophole that has been exploited by surveillance firms like the controversial Clearview AI. So, again, it goes on, but I think Madman's right. You know, they're trying to stop police from using it, but the real problem is people just don't know what their phone is doing. And if you were declared as the owner of your data and the thing came up and had to have a proper warning on it, I mean, you know, you saw how much Facebook howled when Apple, you know, put a very light warning on it without, you know, anybody really understanding what it meant if they weren't in the game. And, of course, Facebook throws up all these warnings. Oh, you need to turn it on. You need to allow this connection collection or we can't work properly. I mean, you know, you're going to start seeing all these free apps being just like websites that, you know, oh, you're using an ad blocker. You have to disable the ad blocker if you want to use our site. And that's when I close the tab. But, and again, it's not that I have a problem with ads supporting a website. It's that so many ads are dirty, deceptive, and full of fucking malware that it's just, it's not safe to turn the thing off. You know, what was the website? It was a couple of years ago now. Some news website demanded everyone turn off their ad block before they would allow you to access the website, and then immediately had a drive-by download ad, you know, get put on the site. So you had to disable your ad blocker, and then they were serving malware. It's just like, fuck you.
And yes, Madman, your Muslim Pro does have all the features you'd think you'd have.
That is amazing. I need a phone to tell me when to wash my feet.
Essentially, it was made by a French guy who worked for Google, I think, in Singapore.
Like I said, kudos to him for recognizing a market. Because
yeah, him and some other dudes, pretty much that's all they do is design tracking features to track you and milk your data off you. That's all it is. Like, hey, you want something in your life that'll help you? Yeah, we're going to track everything.
Yeah, rats. It's called Muslim Pro.
I was so hoping it was developed by a Jew. I mean, he could have changed his name. There's no real early life stuff on him. Considering we only do the show for an hour, I'm going to drop the investigation after this show ends.
All right, next one up is from Threat Post. FBI warns that fake crypto apps are bilking investors of millions. No shit, Sherlock. Threat actors have defrauded 244 U.S. investors of about $42 million through fake cryptocurrency apps that exploit people's legitimate investments in digital currency, the FBI has revealed. The FBI observed a number of cyber criminal campaigns that duped people into downloading malicious apps through which threat actors extorted money from victims, the FBI said in a private industry notification published Monday. Threat actors used names, logos, and other identifying information of legitimate U.S. financial institutions to gain the trust of and fool investors into thinking they were interacting with an actual cryptocurrency-related firm, the agency said. They even went so far as to create fake websites using the info as part of their ruse to gain and trust of investors. Indeed, the rise of interest and investment in cryptocurrency has also made a popular target for cyber thieves who have intervened or invented creative ways to get people to trust them into falling for malicious campaigns. In February of last year, hundreds of investors fell prey to a fake cryptocurrency scam that conned them out of $11 million through investments in a fake cryptocurrency called Bitcoin, and it's spelled two I's in coin. The campaign even had celebrity backing, as actor Steven Seagal was hired to promote the company called Bitcoin2Gen, or B2G, that served as the front for the fraudulent activity. The latest FBI warning also is not the first time the Fed sent an alarm over cyber criminals targeting investors. About a year ago, FBI warned threat actors were posing as financial advisors to lure victims into various investment scams. So the article goes on with some examples, but I just enjoyed that they hired Steven Seagal to promote their fake Bitcoin site.
They got a sheriff to endorse their fake Bitcoin site.
That's fantastic.
So
it was endorsed by law enforcement.
Is he still a sheriff?
I don't know, but I'm going to point out that he was. So my statement can be argued as accurate. It was endorsed by law enforcement. I guess it might not have been in his official capacity as sheriff. But I'm still going to make the joke.
A recent sniper movie. Oh, I saw clips of that. Yeah, he's like dressed up as a sniper, but old and severely overweight. So they had to bring in geriatrics to play colonels so it didn't look so weird.
I was going to say, he's not in good shape anymore.
No.
How is he still playing military guys?
I think just nobody's had the heart to tell him.
Playing a fat cop or something, but yeah, it doesn't make any sense that he'd still be playing a hard man.
He's got a name that's known, and nobody's had the heart to tell him that he hasn't been relevant for years.
I mean, at least Bruce Willis has got a neurological disorder, and we know why he's doing it, for the money, but at least Bruce Willis isn't pretending he's still all there. You know what I mean?
It's sad to see what's happened to Bruce Willis, though.
Unless he's playing somebody with a neurological disorder, yes, he is pretending to be someone who has it all there. That's what acting is.
Yes, Madman, but he's not... some actors bow out gracefully, and I think he is, even though he's doing a ton of movies in the twilight of his era. But he's not like trying to think. Al Pacino. Pacino has just done some terrible roles in his later years. Like, I'm 98 and I'm still a womanizer. You know, stop.
Well, I mean, did you see the recent interview with John Cleese? He looks awful.
Yeah, John Cleese does look, but he is ancient, man.
Oh, Haratza, Bruce Willis had a minor stroke, and he's forgetting lines. He's not the actor he was a couple years ago.
He actually has a debilitating disease that eventually will render him unable to move, talk, or communicate. So he's pushing out a ton of films with just his name in it, you know, so the film gets some recognition. And some haven't been that bad.
No, but it's when he's in it, it's basically him sitting there giving a few lines.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not his biggest fan, but I respect his body of work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we'll forget that Cosmic Sin is among those.
Yes, but some actors just don't know when to say, you know, that role isn't for me. I'm not 30 anymore. And, you know, running around playing Jason Bourne or whatever. I mean, you get like Tom Cruise get away with it because a man doesn't age. But there aren't many who can.
I will say Bruce Willis turned out to be an actual actor. Death Becomes Her, very different than Lethal Weapon. I said Lethal Weapon, but I meant Die Hard.
I know what you meant. Both great Christmas movies.
Yeah, Bruce Willis plays a great Mel Gibson. I mean, you wouldn't even know it wasn't
him. I'm the best Mel Gibson impersonator ever saw in that movie.
I mean, he was dead the whole time. You wouldn't have ever known.
I don't think Bruce Willis has yelled at his ex-wife, "I hope you get raped by a pack of niggers." I'll have to check the celebrity papers, but, you know, definitely not Mel Gibson.
Oh, God, I didn't know Mel Gibson said that.
Yeah, Mel Gibson has said some really bad shit.
Mel Gibson has a little bit of an alcohol problem and an anger problem. His fantastic rant about Jews on a L.A. freeway was fantastic in that body camera footage.
I mean, oh, yeah, really, I saw that one.
Gave a performance.
So we're going to go over time, but that's all right. So just real quick here.
Hold up. Ted Nugent is a sheriff somewhere? Anywhere. Honorary or not, that man should not have a badge. Don't get me wrong. I'll vote for him if he ever runs for anything. But he shouldn't be allowed to have a badge or arrest people. And he should still shoot speakers on stage with a bow.
I was going to say,
just because he's fucked up.
Didn't Ted Nugent have a raging dependency problem at one point?
You mean, is he an alcoholic that snorted everything and has a gun? Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay, that Ted Nugent. Man, go ahead, give him a badge and a gun. He can't be any worse than the Mavaldi detectives.
Oh.
I think he just broke rats.
All right, what's the next story?
Next story is from Healthcare Dive. Data breach at Debt Collector affects almost 2 million healthcare patients. So a ransomware attack hit a debt collections agency in February, potentially exposing the data of almost 2 million patients, according to an update on Health and Human Services breach reporting portal. North Colorado-based professional finance company disclosed the attack earlier this month, informing more than 650 of its healthcare provider clients that their data may have been affected. It's the second largest health data breach this year after the cyber attack of medical imaging and outpatient surgical services provider Shields Healthcare Group in March, per Health and Human Services portal. So, cyber attacks in the healthcare sector are becoming more frequent, spurring industry concern as attacks on one company can have broad repercussions for patient data in today's era of interconnected health information systems. The Shields breach earlier this year affected data of almost 60 healthcare facilities affiliated with the medical service provider, adding up to 2 million patients. Along with targeting providers directly, malicious actors also going after third parties that contract with them as side doors to accessing the trove of sensitive medical data providers collect. Recently, eye care management system, eye care leaders, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, PFC got popped. They were going, you know, it's a debt collection company. With medical bills, I imagine there's a lot of that going on, and they got popped, and yeah, the hackers were able to access, let's see what they get. They got patient names, addresses, social security numbers, health insurance, and medical treatment data. Affected providers include Arizona-based nonprofit Banner Health and Nevada Physician Network Renown Health. So they're going to send out breach letters to patients saying their personal medical data may have been compromised, but from a debt collector, that's going to have people being like, you know, I mean, I'd almost think from a debt collector, it's some kind of a gimmick to contact you to get you to respond. You know what I mean?
Oh, and if it's a debt collector, I'm surprised payment info wasn't also lost.
It depends on how they got their data sorted and what, you know, what the attackers got access to. But they're not saying payment data. So, but, you know, I mean, granted, in this day and age, a data breach, gee, you don't say, but, gotta point them out. And the last story I have for tonight, a company called Meta is suing Meta for naming itself Meta. It's all very meta.
Nice.
I want to giggle at that, but I don't really care.
You shouldn't. When Facebook changed its name to Meta in October, there were a few concerns that the company was planning to dominate the nascent metaverse, but there's one aggrieved party that's now going public. An installation art company called Meta, or Meta.is, announced Tuesday that it will be suing the Facebook Meta for trademark violation, alleging that Zuckerberg's name change violated the smaller company's established brand. Quote, on October 28, 2021, Facebook seized our Meta name and mark, which we put our blood, sweat, and tears into building over 12 years, unquote, reads a post on the smaller company's site. Quote, today, after 8 months of trying to negotiate with Facebook in good faith to no avail, we were left with no choice but to file a lawsuit against them. And there's a disclosure that The Verge apparently partnered with Meta for a number of art installations at a festival in 2016. Much of the case hinges on Facebook's many privacy scandals, which Meta.is argues has made it impossible to share the name. Quote, Meta can no longer provide goods and services under the Meta mark, the complaint argues, because consumers are likely to mistakenly believe that Meta's goods and service emanate from Facebook and that Meta is associated with the toxicity that is inextricably linked with Facebook. So what they're saying is, even though we're not in the same in the same industry, their company is so toxic and hated that them changing their name to our name is damaging our business. No, that's trademark. They're saying it's trademark.
I mean, that's going to be a hard claim to go in court. I'd just go with the trademark thing.
Yeah, Meta.is holds a valid trademark for the name, but may still be facing an uphill battle in court, given the broad range of trademark applications Facebook has made since the name change became official, including separate marks for messaging, social networks, and financial services. Also, a number of trademarks claiming the Meta name for non-tech products, including a hard seltzer and a manufacturer of prosthetic limbs. And Facebook, of course, did not respond for comment.
Of course they wouldn't respond for comment. They've got a court case coming.
Yeah, rats, I saw that too. So, yeah, rats is mentioning that somebody just linked him that in real life, Quidditch League renamed itself to Quadball, which sounds like, you know, a horrible injury that you would receive trying to play real life Quidditch, to distance themselves from J.K. Rowling. You're playing a sport based off of a
really
fake sport.
You're going to use the word sport?
I don't.
You're LARPing like a fucking book faggot.
You're running around
punk.
A soccer field with a stick between your legs.
Between your legs.
Pretending LARP you're flying on a broom out of a children's novel. And you're concerned about the political views of the author. And you're trying to distance yourself from...
Yeah, dude, it's not even a story.
The stupid hurts.
Yep.
Okay, let's... did we have anything on any of the last stories before I do Dojo?
No, I'm pretty good.
Madbeth?
No, I'm going to go with the Quidditch thing. Just hurt my brain enough. I lost any train of thought I had.
Hadouken! What I have for you tonight is a utility that I'd forgotten about, but it's pretty cool. It's called NV Clean Install. Pretty much, it's a hacked-up NVIDIA driver installer that lets you actually go through and remove a whole bunch of features you don't need. So, like, if you're never going to use the 3D glasses, or maybe you don't want to install their audio driver, or, you know, you don't want to install NVIDIA's telemetry. This will let you do that. So if you just want the driver, you don't want GeForce Experience, ShadowPlay, Shield Streaming, the desktop manager, the wireless controller, the USB-C driver, all this stuff that you may or may not be using, this will let you do a clean install of the NVIDIA drivers. So right now it's Windows 7, 8, and 10, 32 and 64-bit. It's portable software. You don't even need to install it. Just a whole bunch of options on setting up your NVIDIA drivers. And if you just want the drivers and nothing else, this is how you do it. So.
You remember when you could just go to NVIDIA's website and just get a clean install of their drivers?
Yeah.
I remember.
That was the only reason I went to NVIDIA's website.
I hate that you have to have an NVIDIA account now and shit like that.
You just, like, I have this graphics card. I have this OS. Give me the driver I need.
So, But anyways, it's a nice little utility. I like how Rats comes back. I need this. Psychro says, this is how I get my drivers on Linux. Sounds like it sucks on Windows now. Dude, yes, everybody on Windows has gone for accounts, has gone for driver installers packed with all kinds of bloatware and crap. It's like the 90s with Windows 98 all over again, but, you know, now they're better at it, and your CPUs are fast enough that you may not notice that they've loaded your shit down until you go to game and check your FPS. Psychro says, next GPU will be like one of the discrete Intel GPUs. Those looked interesting. I could see those. Those are going to, I think a lot of workstations are going to end up with those, because you're going to see the productivity software support them a lot quicker than like game engines, especially stuff getting backported. So, but, yeah, Rhett says their encoding is really good too. So yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of workstations end up with those discrete NVIDIA or those discrete Intel cards. So I don't know. We'll see. But they look interesting. And but anyways, yeah, this NV Clean install is. Did you see all the Nougat stuff? If you don't want to acknowledge or talk about it, I mean, I didn't care enough about Ted Nougat apparently being a deputy to Joe Arpaio, but that's cool that you found that. I just, it's one of those things where it's just like, okay, it's interesting, but not that interesting. It's like, it's whatever. But that's Madman closing thoughts.
I have cat scratch fever.
That sucks.
As long as it's not monkeypox.
You don't have a cat. How the hell did you get cat scratch fever?
Rats, at least you get the joke.
Yeah, it's a Ted Nugent song.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Are you closing thoughts?
All right, I got something for you guys out there who sort of into getting people to do stuff for you by just talking to them. An old group I used to listen to live, prank.net. Now, don't get me wrong, if you can listen to all this and laugh along, you're a sociopath. But it's a good way to listen to see how people will pretty much do anything you want them to do if you're confident enough and act like authority. So I'll get Morphs to post that link into the show notes.
Just did.
Yep. Not for kiddies. And yeah, if you really thoroughly enjoy this, you're a sociopath, because I loved every fucking bit of it.
And Morphs, the answer to that question is I got it from some kitty next door.
So if you're interested in hearing people throw TVs out of hotel windows at 2 a.m. because the gravity turned off in their machine, in their hotel room, yeah, this is the stuff for you. Or getting a man to set off a fire hose alarm and sprinklers in the main hall of a very expensive hotel.
I'm going to need you to put up a sign out front that says pools closed due to AIDS.
Yeah, no, they did worse stuff than that.
I know they did that.
Motor oil and, you know, and ice boxes, things
oh,
like that.
Oh, God!
Yeah.
Black ice.
Yeah, yeah, it's too much electricity in your room. We're going to have to get you to turn stuff off and rip it out of walls. Yeah, yeah, just
because
really
we're
good.
Running low on gravity and we need to redistribute the load.
Dude, there was one where they had this guy convinced that the hotel was lifting up because gravity had failed. And he needed to start tying stuff down with towels.
Why? Yeah, it's inside.
Yeah, just terrifying stuff. Like, man, we've found body parts in your room. Things like that. But yeah. Have fun with that one, guys. That's it for me, Mops.
All right, listen to the stream. We're always working on Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit in the IRC tonight. CyberLard, Cycros, Herrats, Madman, myself, and the Soylent Bomb. We just did closing thoughts. I'm doing shit out of order because I have been drinking a lot because of my job. I'm going to play sound effects now.
Sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oh, fuck.
Shut up, Wesley.